God laid on our hearts at the end of last year, hey guys, what about some Bible reading and what about some prayer? And I know that might sound foreign to some charismatic Western churches sometimes, but hey, you know, that's really foundational for our growth, and it's foundational for knowing who are we actually following. And are we truly just being discipled, and are we disciples of Christ? And much of that happens when we get stuck into the Word, and when we pray. So that's going to be, as we've said last week, a bit of our focus is just these basics. But in that, I believe in the simplicity, the wow will come. If you look at, and I said it last week, if you look at great men of faith, great women of faith, big moves of God, it was built on the simple yet profound things of God, prayer and the truth of the Word, and obviously center of Jesus Christ, and being filled and activated and empowered by His Spirit. So we're trusting God for that. We kicked off last week with prayer. I really love prayer, and I really enjoy it. And I teased a bit by asking, if I say let's pray, or if I say kom ons bid saam, or what do you think of prayer, what is the first or second thought that comes up? And I saw a couple of frowns, so I'm not sure what is your attitude towards prayer. What is it for you, and what is your experience of prayer? What have you experienced before? I shared scripture, and I shared the psalm, taste and know that the Lord is good. And I really believe by God's grace that I've tasted in prayer, and I know there's much more, and I'm frak opgewonde for the much more. But I've once or twice or many a times tasted God's goodness through prayer. Not only the prayer, the moment of communication, but also the manifestation, the fruit, the answer of prayer. And I think it's important for us to stir. I cannot stir up a hunger in you. If you've just had lunch, or you just stopped at McDonald's, went through the driveway, because, you know, Retief is a pastor, and he's maybe a bit of a stingy fella. So we're going for lunch, but I'm going to have a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke before I go. And you pitch up, and we actually have nice food for a change. We actually have great food. We've got fillet steak, or whatever you like. Fish fingers. Petrie, great man. Kom eet julle maar by ons, okay? We actually have this amazing cuisine. We actually have something. Edna's actually a chef. And say, for instance, she took that skill and she practiced it. And she made you something that would come out of the master kitchen, master chef kitchen. I think you might get there. Never mind what she's made, you won't have an appetite for it. Now, I'm not saying, hey, guys, let's eat. Or, hey, guys, let's pray and have an appetite. What we're doing is saying, God, somewhere along the line, my appetite for prayer, for real, truthful, spirit-filled, fiery, heaven-touching earth prayer, has gone on the wayside. God, come and help me. Come and stir that hunger in me again. Come and give me an appetite for that again. Or, the second problem that we might have, God, I grew up traditional. The Onse Father of the Lord's Prayer was just recited. The moment I knew it, I just could say it, and I can get out of church, and I can go on with life. Maybe prayer has been that for you. It's been quite dead. And as I said last week, if prayer is dead to you, I can bet my bottom dollar that the God you're praying to is also dead. It's a dead God. I'm not saying there's sometimes warfare or a block, or it feels like a mountain, but still you'll feel the stirring of the Spirit to move on until there's breakthrough. I'm not saying that, but if prayer has been dead to you all your life, maybe the God was also dead. And I'm saying that tongue in cheek, but in love. And that's why we started off last week, and we said we're going to do I don't know how many part series on prayer. And we might skip a few weeks, and then we'll go on with prayer, because I believe it's very important, and I want to know, and I want to learn. I don't have the answers, but I hope likewise do you. But we said the foundational principle for me of prayer is, who the heck are you talking to? Who's the one, who's the entity you're talking to? Who's the one you're connecting with? Hence, we looked at Scripture, and then Luke 11 and Matthew 6, we've got the Lord's Prayer, the Onze Vader. And we looked at two words last week, and that was our Father. When you pray, when you see God, when you seek God, do you see Him as your Father? And if you do see Him as Father, what is your picture of a Father? Because I believe as we've just seen in ministry time, which was, by the way, thank you, Lord, quite awesome, it's very important the way you see Father or a Father and how you see God as a Father and relating to Him in prayer. I said last week, one's understanding of prayer varies in accordance with one's conception of the two parties involved, namely the divine and the human and their relation to one another. In short, it just says a lot of the way you pray, a lot of what you think about prayer and your faith in prayer is just based on these two things. Who am I and who's God? And if there's stuff that we need to pray through and talk through, I think it's very important, but because this is a very important hurdle to jump over or to get over before we can get to that place where your whole heart, your whole being, as in Romans 8, just cries, Abba, Father. And that was the God that Jesus prayed to. He had a full revelation. He had a perfect revelation of this awesome Father. There's a massive battle, guys, for the heart of the Father in this age. The enemy is doing his utmost best to just discredit God as a perfect and a loving Father. And why is he doing that? It's just, if he can attack that picture, he can just attack our relationship with God. He can very easily attack our effectiveness in prayer and the way we relate to the Lord. As we kick off, let's quickly pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, just for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, that as your word says, that our faith will not be based on man's words, but on your Spirit and power. So, Holy Spirit, please come and teach us to pray. As the disciples prayed to Jesus, they said humbly, we like what we see. What you do is awesome. The way you relate with God, the way you see God, the way you understand God, and the authority you have in prayer, we see that, we acknowledge that. We want that. Teach us. Lord, and likewise, we as a congregation and individuals and households and husbands and wives and you name it, Lord, we come and we just say, Lord, teach us to pray. Spirit of God, the Spirit that will lead us in all truth, teach us to pray. And Lord, we've done it last week, but we're going to keep on doing it. Lord, we lift up our God pictures, our Father God pictures to you, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, if healing is needed, we thank you for healing. If restoration is needed, thank you for restoration. Even if humility is needed, thank you for that. But we open up ourselves for correction so that we can have the true picture, firstly of you, Father God, a biblically sound picture of you. And then secondly, Lord, we are your children. We're not slaves. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Likewise, we pray for our pictures of ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for restoration. And may we see that. And then we thank you that we'll walk in experience of this amazing relationship and this amazing communication that you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for that. Open up your word today, Lord, and shift atmospheres, Lord. Shift worlds, Father God. Shift lives, Lord. Shift kingdoms today. We trust you for that. Living God, King above all kings. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to move through the Lord's Prayer, but traditionally, I think it's good that we just read through it now and again. That you can skip. We're going to move on to Matthew 6, 9, verse 9 to 13. Therefore, you should pray like this. In other words, we said last week, you should pray like this. Not you should pray this. Other translation says, this then is how you should pray. In other words, this is not what you should pray. In other words, some people might think, hey guys, these are the words. When you pray, you need to pray these words. No, Jesus said, this is how you should pray. In other words, get the heart. There's a heart in every line. There's even a heart behind every word. What is the heart of prayer? It's not reciting the right poem. Kry eervolle vermelding of hoogste lof nie. Nee. It's getting God's heart. It's knowing who He is, knowing His character, knowing He's our Father. So get the heart, and we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to go through the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to trust that we get the heart so that we can effectively pray. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Even reading it, I need to fight. It feels like you need to fight a religious spirit. Because I think it's been drilled in so many times, just as a thing, form over substance. And now we're going to trust God, the Holy Spirit, just to flip this thing that we'll have substance over form. And that we'll love prayer. We're going to move on. We quickly look at verse 9. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Now, it's important here that up until the age of Christ and when He arrived on the scene, praise the Lord for that day, they did not, as we said last week, people, followers of God, Israel, etc., did not necessarily see Him as Father. In the Old Testament, we said 15 times there's a relation or a definition to God, God's name as that of Father, versus in John, I think alone, the Gospel of John, 165 plus. So you've got 200 or even more times that Jesus refers to God as Father in, or Abba Father, in the Gospels. Massive contrast. Now the guys of the Old Testament, if we can refer to it today, just in layman's terms as that, knew Him as this almost a mystic, massive God out there, the ones that created heaven and earth, earth and sky. Yet Jesus comes along and He says, our Father in heaven. In other words, my Father, that guy that you think made heaven and earth. So he brings those two home very quickly, saying that is that massive God that you've been following all these years, He's my Father. For them it might be, for us it's, we know this like the palm of our hands, but for them it was like, what are you doing? Your name be honored as holy. And here, just merely, and we're not going to stand still here, your name be honored as holy. It's just saying, yes, He's Father. Yes, He's intimate. Yes, He's amazing. But He's a holy God. He's a consuming fire. And I think it's to strike that balance. There's maybe through all through your life, there'll be just a way in which you trust God to just strike that balance between intimate, loving Father, but not becoming too blasé and remembering He's a holy God and His name is holy. And He's a consuming fire. And if I should run in there without having Christ on, I will lose my life. So it's just to find that place. But I trust God will, by His Spirit, lead us into that place of a divine tension between loving Father intimate, but also being holy God. Not as contrast, but as one and the same God. I read one of the commentaries, and it was just a very informal commentary on the Lord's Prayer. And one of the writers note that when you don't have His name as holy, and when you don't have a reverence, a fear of the Lord for God, He might seem like a cosmic vending machine. I don't know if some people, the God they pray to might seem like a cosmic vending machine. Or a genie in a lamp, which is not. He's relational. You don't rub Him up the right way and you get your three wishes. You don't trek die slinger en jy kry hopelik drie sewes. No, that is not the God we serve. He's relational. But He's also a holy Father. God is not our buddy whom we should carelessly address. Be careful here, I'm not being all staunch religious. You can run to God with more things than you can run to some Christians. He's really open. Please make sure of that. God is not our buddy whom we should carelessly address, but neither is he a distant and an uncaring God whom we should be terrified to pray to. So God, we trust that you'll give us that holy balance of this loving Father that we know. We're going to move on from verse 9 to what I believe is very important in all of our lives and what we don't necessarily see every day. And that is verse 10. Look, remember the bigger scheme of things. We're looking at prayer and we're trusting God to firstly stir a hunger and that he teach us to pray by catching the heart of what Jesus said. Verse 10, let's read. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. I'm just going to pray. Lord, your word is powerful and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you that your word will accomplish today what it was sent forth to do in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Amen. Sorry, it was just a quick ad break. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're constantly fighting that, just the rhetoric or the rhetoric in Afrikaans thing of saying this sometimes as a poem, but let's trust the Holy Spirit now to just break open something more for us. If you look at the Lord's Prayer in its entirety, I believe the purpose statement or the purpose of this prayer is hidden here. So Jesus is saying, hey guys, you're following me. I'm God's son. You're my disciples and I'm following God and you follow me as I follow God. Great. So we know what the relationship status is. You see what I'm doing? I'm praying to my Father. Things are happening, really happening. And you're like, hey man, what are you up to and how do you do that? We want to do that. Teach us to pray. And now he teaches. Firstly, he says, who are we talking? We're talking to our Father. Awesome. I like that. I had a great father. We communicated very well. I can see that. Next line is, the God you're following, his kingdom should come. That should be the heart of the purpose. Die doelstelling van gebed. That God's kingdom will come. Now, for some people, that might just seem so arbitrary. Why would this king want you to pray that his kingdom come? Who is he? And that's usually if they don't know him. And we need to trust God for that, that we know him, that we catch his heart, we catch his kingdom. What is his kingdom? If I don't know Pietri and I drive past him, or let's say I walk past him in the shopping mall and I see there's a need, I don't even know to need, I just walk past him. Chances are that my heart will not necessarily leap as to what is the needs in this guy's life. Does he actually like ice cream? Will he feed me fish fingers if I should get to his house? Or what would his wife say about that? Does he have shampoo and conditioner? And does he use that for his armpits? No, I don't, because not saying that I don't care, but really being human, and if you're in the flesh and not at that moment in the spirit, you'll actually not care. But once I get to know the stranger walking past, and we spend some time, and he tells me about his horrific past. No, I'm just joking. He doesn't have a horrific past, or else of what I know. But he starts telling me about himself. I get in touch with his human nature. Get to know the things he loves and the things he dislikes. I see his passion for worship. I see his passion for God and for his church. And the way he... when there's a need, the way he sees a need in worship, that he just jumps in and he does it. I'm starting to develop a heart for him in all the right types of ways, obviously. There's a love stirring my heart for Pietri. And we'll go on the men's camp, or we'll do stuff together, or we'll go up, Lion's Head, and all of a sudden, as we chat, his needs are important to me. All of a sudden, he's not the guy I'm just walking past. He's Pietri, man. Brothers are born in adversity. What he likes is important to me. So if he comes and visits, I'll say to Edna, "Pak weg die fillet." Dis in 'n geval dier. Waar is die visvingers? I love visvingers. What he loves, I'll start to love. When he comes and visits, I want his kingdom to come. I want his will to be done because I've seen him, I've noted his character, and I've gotten to know him. Okay, kom ons haal hier nou af van die stoel. Geniet die res van die preek. Skus Petri. But you get the heart, and that, I believe, is something we should not miss. Is Lord, unless I know you as Father, I'm not saying you can't pray at all. We're going to grow in this. We're all going to grow in this for years and years and years of sanctification to come. Praise God. So please don't, if you don't see God as a Father, just stop. Oh, I can't pray. No, that's a lie of the enemy. But you're going to grow. It's going to deepen and deepen and deepen. I said before, there's many ad breaks, but I believe it's important that as the prodigal son went his way, he squandered everything, he came back and he saw his father's reaction, running to him, giving him the signet ring, giving him sandals, giving him a cloak, or what do you name it, getting out the fish fingers, the best, biggest fish fingers for this son that has been gone, throwing a huge party. Something might have happened in his heart. I'm also curious of what happened the next day. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I'm really passionate about this. I wonder what happened. But the next morning, how did he get up? Did he walk out the door, say, "Cheers, sien julle weer oor 'n paar jaar"? Or did he stand up, put on the television, and watch the rerun or the highlights of yesterday's sport? Or did he? Was he so blown away by the relational love and care of his father, the character and the heart of his father, that he said, "Lord, oh Father, thanks for last night. That was just so awesome. I never expected it. What are we going to do today? What are you going to do? I want to partake in that." And that's the way I see this, and I see it in prayer. It's not a fact of, not a thing of being a slave or ticking boxes or trying to do stuff right. It's saying, "Lord, you are so amazing. I can't think of anything better in my life than to, whatever I do, to do it with you." Hence the easiness of prayer. Not always, but many a times. So we're trusting God for that connection. We're trusting for that right vision of Him so that we can have that. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is merely a king's domain. In other words, it's where he's sovereign, where he's got authority and power, and where he can operate. It's the domain, area, field, sphere, call it what you will, where the king rules. Ronald's kingdom is predominantly at home. That is where he rules. And where he's got the authority involved. And likewise, God has got a big bit of a bigger domain. In a kingdom, the king rules. In a democracy, who rules there? The majority. Now, I know some of the humanists will obviously not like this part of Christianity because it sounds so archaic. Dit klink oudmodies. Dit klink soos slavernij. Wie is hier die koning wat oor jou wil rule? Wow, this is weird. How about we as a church have a vote and we tell God, we've come to this conclusion and we think it's better that you worship us for now and again. You can worship us 2 weeks and we'll worship you for 2 weeks. I think that's just a bit better. No, that is not. That's just a grappie. Nobody's laughing, so I'm just wondering if you're thinking that's a good idea, because then we've got huge problems. It was really a joke. It's not a democracy, it's a kingdom. The king rules. And in some of us, I think it might be difficult, especially when you come out of the world and you're freshly saved, new things happen, and you're like, "What? I will what? Ek moet what?" And things to stand, hulle staan op hier binne in jou. Mens noem dit manifesteer, but God sorts it out. They stand up, a rebellion, and like, "Ooh." But once you get to know the king, all just makes sense. In a Western civilization, we don't want people to rule over us. No. Ek moet nie vir my kom vertel nie. But once you realize that king is actually your father and he's a good, loving, perfect father, it's just like the puzzle pieces fit together and it makes it so much more easy. So let's fight for that, that we can have that in our lives. Just a quick challenge. When we pray, and obviously test yourself, and it will differ from time to time. But when you pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Whose kingdom are you praying about? Like we said, first difficult question last week was, who's the Father? Who's the God? Who's this godly entity to whom you're praying? Let's look at your God picture. I believe the difficult question here, or the challenging question maybe this week is, when you say, let your kingdom come, whose kingdom are you really praying about? You know, religiously we can think, sometimes we can conjure up some words, but a deep test needs to be done of whose kingdom am I actually building in praying this prayer. Sometimes like, Lord, I've been praying, but nothing seems to happen. A good test is to see, Lord, show me what kingdom am I building? What kingdom am I building in my prayers at the moment? You're awfully quiet. It's going to get better. Don't worry. Matthew 6 verses 33 says the following. You know it. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's just amazing how he just hides it there. He says, once I've got your heart, once I've got the whole you, I'll sort out the rest. I've testified before. I think we've, at a stage, moving out to Malmesbury and following the Lord, being without a job, being without income and salary, being without the honor and, not honor, honor is maybe a bit too big, the esteem and the picture I had of becoming the whatsoever or the whosoever. Once all of that faded and God took that out of my heart, I was at a pretty broken place. But as, by God's grace, as he, I believe, kept us humble and not letting us turn away from him, he came and he really restored a lot. And he gave us so much better than we thought. I had a plan. I said, Lord, we're going to move out to the Platteland. I'm going to have a nice practice there. I'm going to make enough money. And then in my off time, God, I'll be, and there's nothing wrong with this, by the way, because this might be your picture. It wasn't mine. Take note. No offense, take note. Lord, I want this salary. And once we sort it, we've got our home. We've got our white picket fence. As I jokingly said, our kids are running around with earth child clothes and I've got a nice SUV. Lord, then I'll be a cell leader. I'll serve in church and you can have all the rest of the time to yourself. And that was for me kingdom. That was for me God. This is me giving a lot away. This is the picture and I think you like it, Lord. And God had a different plan. And he turned that upside down and he circumcised our hearts. Now, we're not perfect, definitely not. But man, I got a bit of a wake-up call when I slowly but surely in 5 years, day after day, realized, but hey man, am I really busy with his kingdom or mine? It does change your prayer quite a bit. Do you have any idea for how many job interviews I prayed? I stood in faith, I took them, I physically tore them out of heaven, I took it, I took the salary, I broke the bank, I walked in the doors, I put on the suit, I did all the stuff in the spirit, but I wasn't building the right kingdom. And then you get ticked off with God, but why is this not happening? I'm standing in faith and I've got this amazing faith, but for what? For your empire. By faith for your empire. So I got a bit of a knock there, but praise God, he picked us up and he's... kingdom is just so much better. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and the rest shall be added unto you. En glo my die Here het ons gebless. It's not about material things, but he even gives that as well. Who's the king ruling over me and who's the king ruling over my heart? Is it me actually or is it truly God? Just remember that when we speak about king, that he is also the father, a good father, and a loving father. And he doesn't want it to be robotic. Hy wil hê dit moet fake wees of formule wees nie. Hy wil hê dit moet relational wees. It should be relational. in verhouding. Jesus makes it easy. He gives us a bit of a teaser with respect. In John, just the next scripture, thanks. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Edna gets to know me, or I need to get to know Edna. We've been married going on 8 years now. That's a long date, Liffy. We get to know one another. She knows what I like, and likewise, and we especially know what we dislike as well. But so it gets to a place where she says, well, Ritif, you ken my heart. You know my heart. You know what I really love and what makes me tick. And if you really strive to do that, you can do what you want. And you're like, did I just sign for that? Did you just catch me out with a very tricky thing? And I think that's what Jesus does here in love. He says, if you abide in me, if you walk with me, if I disciple you, and my words abide in you, if my will and the word of God, the Spirit of God obviously is in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We can't only have the latter part of that verse. We should have the whole one. So if you are in the kingdom with both feet, and you knowing your God is awesome, He's your Father, you want His will to pass, you want the things that He's on His heart to be manifested here on earth, then that is a nice scripture to have. Next, 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Why, Lord, why don't you hear me? Why didn't I get that job? Why couldn't I get that salary? Talking about my own example. Because that might not have been God's will. We're talking kingdom. We're talking the Lord's Prayer. We're talking prayer. What is the heart? God knows best. God knows best. I've tried it on my own. I've dismally failed. I was so privileged. We went out quickly, a testimony to, or half a testimony maybe, to Wolseley, Tilbach Wolseley area, where the camp will be for men's camp. And we anointed the place, we prayed for the place, and a young guy came up. Well, I looked up to him, which is not what happened quite often, but I looked up to him, freaking Rees. I thought, and I said to him, well, where do you work? He said, no, nee, ek is die eerste jaar in Elswoogte. I'm like, okay, oom, aangename kennis. Anyway, long story short, his name is Johan, and God just radically saved his life in time. And I said to him, man, I wish I were in your shoes when I rocked up at Stellenbosch. He got saved on his way, and I said, I lost so much there, but you're in a good space. And I just shared my testimony, and I saw it really struck his heart to know that he's got an awesome platform is the wrong word to you. But he's in a much better space than I was when I rocked up at Stellenbosch. He knows his Father and he knows who he is. And that's important. He knows the kingdom he's from even before he sets off on that journey. God knows best. And Johan will obviously see God's best and not like myself, my own best when I went to Stellenbosch. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We asked one another, and I believe that's one leg. For what kingdom are you praying, or what kingdom are you building when you pray? And then secondly, once we've established that, man, I'm actually going after God's kingdom because I'm a son and a daughter. I mean, and this is part of my inheritance. My inheritance is like we heard earlier, that somebody can stand up out of a wheelchair when we pray. That is part of my inheritance. That is the kingdom of God. The second leg, I believe, is what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? You can keep up kingdom come. We're going to look at what is the kingdom of God just now. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Have any of you guys pictured the kingdom in heaven? Does it look anything similar to what it is down here? Is there stuff happening in your life that is not in the kingdom of heaven. I would freaking hope so, that this will not be a copy and paste job of what we have down here up there. Then we're really in the wrong place. We're really then in the wrong place. God's kingdom, and He rules, and He's the main in heaven, and it's perfect. And we don't have all the stuff we have down here. But the one thing I just want us to remember is that Jesus here says that, let your kingdom come. He's not saying, hey guys, get saved, get a pina colada, chill on the beach and wait for the bus, and you'll go to heaven. No, He says, heaven should come here. Another thing, you don't get saved and then the kingdom automatically. Obviously, in that moment, you enter the kingdom of heaven and you've got the potential of the kingdom in your life. But once you got saved, and most of us can testify, I think everybody can testify, heaven wasn't just all around you all of a sudden every single day. Heaven, heaven, heaven. I got saved 3 years back and it's just been heaven, heaven, heaven on earth. Any experiences like that? Not. Why am I saying this? Guys, there's a battle between kingdoms. There is a battle between kingdoms. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Kingdom come. Your kingdom needs to come because it is not already here. There's a battle. Why do we pray? Because there's a battle between the kingdom of heaven needing to come down to the kingdom of earth. And for me, that's really important. I love warfare. But for me, it's very, very important that I see the kingdom, that I see heaven now already, not only one day. What Ronald said is that the people will stand up out of their wheelchairs, that lives, broken lives, get healed. That the this Buya and Shack. Cuffs of shackles. That those ones fall off in this lifetime already. Not only one day when you get to heaven. The kingdom does not automatically come in our life. The thing is, God is sovereign. And he can always be in control in one's life. He can always be in control in one's life. But He is not necessarily always in control in one's life. And I say this very, very sensitively, but He gave us free will. If God was in control of all of our lives constantly, why would we need free will? Ralph's a lawyer. He's got a client. No, in fact, Demi's his client. She's got an awesome house in Clifton. But she's doing stuff, so she can't live there at the moment. So she puts in tenants, and they pay an astronomical amount of money every month. But then they stop paying. She's got this beautiful place. What does she do? Say, wel vir Ralph. Say, hey, Ralph. Doen jy nog paai uitsettings? Hy says, ja, ja. Ek raak nou nogal skerp daarmee. She says, well, can you help me, please? We need to evict these people. Is it within the authority of the law? Can we do it? Yes, obviously they're not paying. He goes through the procedures, gets a court order, gives it to Demi. Is there still people living in her house? She's got a paper. She's got a court order. Is there still people in her house? Whose kingdom is currently operating in that lovely spot next to Clifton? Not the one of the court order. But Stephen is not only her husband, he's also the sheriff of the court, the enforcer. So she says, yeah, he looks like a bit of an enforcer. She says, honey, yes, I've got a court order. Please adhere to the eviction of these people. I'll stop with it. I won't say it to any of you guys. Obviously not. He needs to take that and enforce the truth of the kingdom that Ralph... Thanks, Ralph. Are you going to squash the bill? Are you actually going to... is it for free? Better. It sounds like the kingdom to me. Hopefully, I didn't just do something. I'll pray with you afterwards. The sheriff takes the court order, knocks on the door. Oh, it's scoundrels, juggies, and weird characters, and it's not time for salvation now. So we'll get the police in. The police and the sheriff of the court helps us to enforce this eviction notice, this court order. And only then, as the sheriff, Stephen, and his demi-wife moves into their own home, the kingdom comes. Very, very interesting example, Retief. Ach, thank you. God gave us free will, and God can always enter the fray, enter life, enter situation. His kingdom, His heavenly kingdom, His domain, His authority, who He is, God above everything, can enter every single situation. But we need to say, hey, Sheriff, hey, God, here's the order, here's your word, here's the promise, here's the heart. Come and take in, come and take over, come and let your kingdom be in this place. And Demi and Stephen can move into their house and enjoy the view and get Pietri over for fish fingers. God can always be in control, but we need to let Him in. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're agents of change. Why, Lord, why is this world in such a mess? Who got the answer of that rhetorische vraagie? Lord, why is this place, why is your church in such a mess? Why are you not talking about my church to me? Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. You're on earth as it is in heaven. I'm an agent of change. I'm an agent. I'm a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And I'm not a daughter also. That's not within our theological framework. I'm a son of the Most High God. But I need to call forth the things. I need to go say, Lord, what does your word says? What is the promises you've made to me, Lord? What is that amazing prophetic vision you've given us, Lord? What have you said to me in Edna? What have you said to this congregation, Lord? What have you said to the Schlebushes, Lord? What have you said to Demi and her husband working as a sheriff for the court, Lord? What have you said to us? And then through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, we need to go in force so that the one kingdom makes way for another. Does that make sense? Edna's miming something to me, so I'll maybe share that later. Quickly, as we swiftly move on, what is His kingdom? I'm not going to say today, God's kingdom, we're going to put in a box. This is God's kingdom, and this is the way we're going to shape it. I believe in every situation you can ask, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. And in that situation, as God takes over, as He leads, it might be the right answer. It's so big, it's so magnificent, but what we do know is God's kingdom is where He's got, where He's the king of that domain, where He is the king of that situation, where He is sovereign and in control of a situation. How do I break that up practically? For me, I go to Christ, Jesus Christ, because I believe He's the key to a couple of things for us, and we'll look at Scripture just obviously to back that. You can move on if you don't mind. Firstly, salvation. Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. You're on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. It's not on earth. Here's a different kingdom. It's operating weird. It's really not life and life in abundance. Let it come, Lord. In my case, it came in 2004. Praise God. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, unless there's natural birth and you're born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Firstly, you need to be human. I think that suffices for all of us. But secondly, you need to be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need to say, Jesus Christ, be my Lord and Savior. Unless you have that, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So it's important, it's paramount that you're in relationship with God. You're not a mere slave running around. You're not a weird old Gentile running around. You said, Lord, I can't do it on my own. Bow my knee. I surrender. I say, Lord, come and be king over my life. Great. That's a good start. You enter the kingdom of heaven. Christ is the way to which we find salvation and enter that kingdom, so that the potential, and I say that again, the potential of heavenly kingdom coming down and being real and manifest in my life is there. The potential. It's not automatically mans gain and the rusa from the beginning. Yes, there's grace. God is good. But He's going to teach us. He's going to help us to vuker so that the kingdom can come more and more in our life. Secondly, and I love this, Jesus' work. How do you fit this in the bigger scheme of things? We're talking prayer. We're talking the Lord's Prayer. We said, Our Father, yes, Lord. And we're now saying, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. How does it look, physically look, when heaven comes down to earth? Ronald said to us, a guy stands up out of a wheelchair. What was bound before will be healed and restored. Yeah, not one day. It's nice to, and it's a difficult area. We're not going to get into the nuts and bolts, but it's great to say you're going to run in heaven. It is cool, and it is true. The person in the wheelchair will probably run in heaven. But man, oh man, I would love to be part of a kingdom culture where he runs on earth before he runs in heaven. Where the kingdom of heaven comes on earth before we wait 50, 60, 70, 80 years before we need to see it in heaven. Why did Jesus otherwise come? Let's quickly look at Jesus' job description, his work. Praise the Here. Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Let heaven come to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Bring heaven to the captives. Recovering sight to the blind, both spiritually and physically, I believe. Recovering sight to the blind. Jesus came so that one kingdom can make way for another kingdom on earth. So that whoever is blind spiritually and physically can not only see one day in heaven, but can see on earth. And I think especially spiritually, it's paramount that we ask Jesus to open up our eyes. And recovering of sight to the blind, and set liberty to those who are oppressed. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Quickly again. Guys, this is the Lord. This is Jesus Christ, the one we are following. This is the one of whom we are disciples. It was His mandate. And as likewise He gave the mandate to the disciples. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Give the Gospels, give Christ, give myself to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. He sent me to just take a bit of heaven in my pocket and go give it to the poor. He sent me, my Father sent me with a bit of heaven in my pocket to give it to the captives. That's that moment in worship earlier, that through Christ, the stuff that some of us might have been struggling for years emotionally, why can it not be broken here today? Because way back, the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb came with a bit of heaven in His pocket, and He brought that to us. Not even that, He went down to Hades, He destroyed death, and He came back, He was resurrected. Anyway, different sermon. Let's quickly focus. This is the kingdom. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Sorry, just the next slide. Don't have it up there. Sorry. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Of life and life in abundance, the other translation says. Life and life in abundance. Are you experiencing life and life in abundance? No, not. Okay, great. Don't have to wait to go to heaven. You can ask through Christ, Lord, the devil has come in my family or in our family line, Lord, or in my life or in my work or even in my physical body, Lord, of the shape and place in which I am now, Lord. The devil has come to steal. One kingdom has taken up my nice spot in Clifton. Lord, come and help. Jesus, come. Let heaven come down. Come evict this nonsense out of my life and bring heaven to my life now. Does this make sense, guys? Is this helping somebody? Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. And second, lastly, remember we're saying, what is God's kingdom? And I'm saying, I'm not trying to put it in a box. I'm not giving it a single definition, but I'm looking to Christ. Because usually when I've got a question, I find my answer there. And I said salvation. Firstly, enter the kingdom through salvation. Secondly, we said, what was his work? What was the work that Jesus did? Thirdly, Jesus said the following. It's good to be connected. In the world, especially, people like to be connected. They're networking. They link it, they Facebook, they Twitter, they do stuff. And then later on, when you're in business, they do other stuff. You take them out, they spoil you, they're actually busy brainwashing you. And then, why? Because they want to know people, and it's good to be connected. I'm not going to go into politics, because there people are connected, and we're going to stay in a positive mind space here, and we're going to bless the authority that God's placed over us. So, thank you, Lord. I'm not going to take that example. Bottom line is that it's important to know people. Be connected. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said the following to his disciples. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This is after he was resurrected. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It's almost like Stephen. It's almost like the sheriff. I've got the authority. If you can give me the court order, I've got authority everywhere. I can go implement that. I'm like, Stephen, sheriff of the court, please, I've got this. I've got a lot of promises. The devil's been stealing, but God says X, Y, and Z. Please go and do that. Jesus came and he said, I've got all authority, all authority, all authority in heaven and on earth. If you want the kingdom to come, I'm your man. I know people who knows people. Do you know my dad? I'm connected, he says. I've got the authority. And if you're part of my team, if you're as jy my spanners, as jy my plaaswerk, as jy deel van my familie is, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And lastly, why is Jesus a key? Jesus is the way to the Father. Great? But if that's cool, he's the way to the King. How do I connect with the kingdom of heaven? Through Christ. And likewise, I believe, how do I get the kingdom of heaven down here in my situation, here on earth, is through Christ. Let's look at Scripture. Matthew 16:15-19. I'm reading the whole part. You've got half there, up there. He said to them, but who do you say that I am, Simon Peter? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Major revelation. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, son Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, on this revelation, on this truth, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. My own words, on this revelation, and who I am, Christ Jesus, will the kingdom of heaven come to earth? Will the kingdom of heaven be made manifest on earth? Will God come and establish his reign that's already in heaven, bit by bit, more and more, here on earth? Through whom? Through his own arm? Yes, his own arm, but through whom? Anyone? By Pietri. Tenerina, tot Amy, tot wie ook al in die moederskamer sit. Through us, his children. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Not to unlock it once you get home. Not to say, blip, blip. Hi guys, I'm home. No, to use those keys here in your situation, wherever you might be, to blip, blip, please, do come in. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. To have that authority and to know that Christ is the way that we can establish and have God's domain rest here on earth. There's a couple of other scriptures, we're not going to go through all of them. Maybe just Mark 10:15, because I love it. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Our Father who are in heaven, I come to you as your child. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. There's obviously stages in the human child where we don't think our parents know us best. But they actually do, most of the time. Likewise, my children, there's a place of sincere freedom and what is work here? Surrendering. When they can just trust me. When they just say, look, Lord, Retief, of Papa, wat ook al jy besluit, go for it, want dit gaan die beste wees vir my. Whatever you decide, Dad, that will be the best for me. And I believe God holds that before us. And I believe it's a massive key to prayer. It's firstly, to see Him as that loving, perfect Father, and to grow in that. If it's not picture perfect now, it's fine, but to grow in that. And then to know that as this relationship grows, where His heart becomes more your heart, His words becomes more your words, and you'll ask whatever you want, whatever comes on your heart, and He will do that. So guys, if you pray, what kingdom is it? It's an easy answer, and it's also an easy thing to change. You just say, Lord, sorry, I've, like Retief, been running around the mountain quite a lot, trying to actually build my own thing under your name. I apologize. Change my heart. And Lord, okay, cool. I want to pray about your kingdom. Show me how. What does it entail? How would it be if in this particular situation or in this circumstances, how would it look like when your kingdom come down to earth? I believe there's power in the fact that we are seated with Christ, that we have authority in Him and Him alone. But we should be noteful of the fact that Jesus said, let your kingdom come, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, saying that there's a transaction that needs to take place. There's a battle that takes place. And we need to take up that battle. And in my own life, in our lives, in our church, and then obviously out there as well. We need to take on that battle so that the guy can rock up, and by God's grace, we can say, Lord, let your kingdom come now, and he stands up out of his wheelchair. Thank you for that example. Let's pray and trust God for that. Lord, I think this is what I live for. Might sound weird, but I think this is truly what I live for, is to see your kingdom come in people's lives. Your heavenly kingdom, your heavenly truth. Jesus' mandate made manifest in people's lives. In restoration, in healing, in restoring relationship with you as a loving, perfect Father, as God Almighty. God, I think that's what I live for. I just recommit and I just give my life for that. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Teach me, Lord, and lead me. And likewise, Lord, I pray that for everybody that has that on their heart today, Lord. To say, Lord, I want more. I want more, Lord. Not more feelings, not more excitement, not more goosebumps per se. But I want to see a place where you are king. Because when you are king, things happen. When you are king, we are safe. When you are king, we thrive. When you are king, everybody benefits. So God, we can pray over the school, and we can pray today specifically over our church, over the families in our church, and over the individuals in our church, Father God. However it might look, Lord, we pray that heaven will come and be made manifest in these families, individuals' lives, and in this church. God, as much as we can possibly mean it out of the bottom of our hearts, we say, God, you're a good Father. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your reigning will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Just the last thing. Jesus gave them the words. We don't repeat. I pray that a lot. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In other words, I'm not sure exactly. I know I see a situation. I know, God, you're not in control here. Or I'm going into a situation and the chances are that you're not in control there. So I just, there's a coverall. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And I pray that. But sometimes, not sometimes, most of the time, God is relational and specific. So yes, you can pray that coverall, but trust him. What specifically do you want me to pray? I prayed last year, the December before. Lord, where are you going to send us? Where are you going to send us? Where are you going to send us? And it just hit the roof. In other words, God, your will, your will, your will. But he said to me, you know I'm going to send you. Start praying for where you're going. And once I made that shift, once I knew, oh, that's your will in this prayer, I started to pray for the place God is sending us. God started to talk. Showed me this, showed me that, showed me this, showed me that. And there was life in the prayer again. So yes, pray that. Have your will be done. Kingdom come. But sometimes ask God, practically, how can your kingdom come now? Don't buy that shoes. And in 2 weeks' time, you come across and it's on a sale. Stupid material, voorbeeld, example. But get to ask him, knock on his door, say, good Father, what is your will? And let heaven come to earth. Sorry for that. I just felt I needed to share that. Thanks, guys. Have an awesome week.